We come up now to the gospel message. Would you please stand while we read our sacred text here? We call your attention to the book of Acts, chapter 9. We will look at verses 1 through 6 of chapter 9. But first, before we read our text, let's recite our motto, mission statement. The mission of People's Community Church is to disciple the church, the unchurched, through biblical preaching, teaching, and outreach ministry that will help to heal hurting. Amen. God bless you. We continue to form and develop ministries that will help to heal hurting people. And God continues to bless us for that. In the book of Acts, I called your attention to chapter 9. I said we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And for your hearing right now, I would just read verse 6, my key verse. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You ain't got no choice in this. Must do. We call your attention to our theme this morning, sight through blindness. Sight through blindness. You may be seated, and that is not an oxymoron here this morning, but God is a miracle worker. A miracle is when God takes the things in our lives and God takes them and work a miracle out for those that believe. So we see here only God can give us sight through blindness. There are so many of us that are blind, and we want to talk about that this morning, because in order for a person to accept Christ, the devil has put a blind mass around our mind and eyes. And in order for that person to accept Christ, the power of God is stronger than that band that the devil has on them. And so the power of God has to remove that blindness in order for one to accept Christ. So when we look at our lesson text this morning, in some cases, God has to take some things from us for us to realize that there is another way. Don't be surprised when God takes some things from you in order for you to realize that there is another way. Great champion shooter, he would shoot these darts and he would shoot his pistol. He was a great champion with his right arm, but he got his right arm cut off. And a year later, he had trained with his left arm, and he learned to be a champion with his left arm. See, the issue of being a champion wasn't what arm he used. The issue of being a champion was what was in him. That's what we need to understand this morning. So we can get sight through blindness this morning. This lesson that I'm preaching this morning reminds me of John Newton. John Newton was a famous, early in his life, he engaged in slave trade. He was a man, they would go and capture slaves and they would carry all these people and they would be in bondage for the rest of their lives. But one day, as they were going off in the ship in the West Indies, there was a horrific storm that came up. And John Newton looked like the ship was going to go down. John Newton got down on his knees and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord delivered him. The Lord caused a great calm over the sea. And then there was another occasion when John Newton had become very sick with a horrific fever, and it looks like that he was going to die. With sweat coming down from his brow, he got down on his knees and he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. From those experiences, John Newton became a Christian. From those experiences, John Newton decided to give up the slave trade. See, once you don't have to talk to people about their wrongness. You just have to allow God to take the blinders off of them, and they will change. And John Newton, when he changed, he got with another writer, and they composed a lot of hymns. And one hymn that he composed that we sing is Amaze and Grace. But because one thing that John Newton understood that God's grace is amazing. But then, you know, he went on with William Wilberforce and he began to work to abolish slavery. Now, here's a man who was once a slave trader, and he was very instrumental in the abolishment of slavery. See, God can change you, can't he? God can change your heart. And that's the thing that we need to understand about Almighty God. I don't care how far you've fallen, how far you have messed up. God can change you. God can change you to be a different person. And that's what we want to look at this morning in our lesson text. Today I will teach that the devil blinds people from believing in God, but the power of God is greater than the devil, and the power of God can remove those blinders. And don't be alarmed when people don't join the church. Don't be alarmed when people hear the gospel and the gospel doesn't move them. You see, Satan is the prince of darkness, and Satan will keep them in darkness. But they have to realize, they have to come to a point where they can see something. You see, John Newton saw something when that ship was about to go down. John Newton saw something when he got so sick that he was about to die. See, sometimes God has to have us to realize. I don't know what it's going to take for you, but for the prodigal son, he was finna eat what the pigs ate. And the stuff that he was going to eat, it wasn't even digestible for the human body. I don't know what it's going to take for you to take your rightful place. But only the power of God can take those blinders off. Only the power of God can help you realize, help you to see the truth. And I guarantee you, once you see the truth, you can't go back to a lie. It's a hard wind, a bad wind, rather, that don't change. So we come up to our lesson text this morning. In our lesson text, we see that Saul of Tarsus, who was a very educated person, they say that he graduated from the University of Tarsus. They say that he was taught at the school with Gamaliel, one of the famous teachers in those days. So we see Paul spoke 14 languages fluently. Paul was probably a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Roman citizen through his fathers. Paul was a very, very educated person. There was no person in antiquity that was more educated than Paul. But you see, Paul may have been like Nicodemus. Sometimes education don't give us everything that we need. So we see Paul standing in Jerusalem when they stoned Stephen to death. Paul seeing this, but that wasn't enough for Paul when they ran all the Christians out of Jerusalem. Paul said, I need to do more. Because Paul in Jerusalem was going in the houses, pulling Christians out. They called the Christians at that time the people of the way. Paul was going in the houses, pulling people out and beating them and doing all kind of stuff. But when they stoned Stephen to death, Paul said, I got to do more. I got to stop these Christians. J. Vernon McGee stated that there was never a person in this world that hated Christ more so than Paul. Paul hated him so much that he went to the priest in Jerusalem and said, I heard that there was a big church in Damascus. I heard that the Christians that we ran out of Jerusalem, they're all going to Damascus to establish this big church. And I want to go there and I want to hunt them down. I want to hurt them. I want to bring them back. I want to beat their children. I want to persecute them. I want to bring them all back to Jerusalem. Give me the decree. Hallelujah. You know, hatred is bad, isn't it? Every now and then, you may run into something wicked, but when you run into some evil, that's a dangerous thing. Paul had become an evil person. There was never anyone in this world that hated Christ more than the Saul of Tarsus. Can't call him Paul yet, but you see, I want you to pay attention to this lesson because this is one of the greatest lessons in the Bible next to the crucifixion of Christ. I want you to pay attention to this lesson because when we lead folks to Christ, you know, we carry them down that Romans road written by Paul. You see, Paul next to Jesus in the New Testament, he is one of the most significant writers. He wrote 13 books in the New Testament. And if he didn't write Hebrews, he told them what to say. Are y'all with me? So you see here, Paul was a great person, but he had to be converted. So we see as we come up to our lesson text, we find Saul of Tarsus. Hatred, bitter. I wanted to set that for you so you can understand this lesson. And then in that chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing and threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. He went up to the high priest. See, when somebody want to hurt you, when somebody really want to hurt you, they'll go to great lengths to hurt you. I just want you to know, don't mess around with them backstabbers. Don't mess around with folk that want to hurt you. They're not going to like you because they just don't like you. You ain't got to do nothing to them. They just don't like you. Hallelujah. Get over it. They didn't like Jesus. Paul went to the high priest and desiring of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of these way, whether they were men, women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Bring them bound. He going to tie them up. He going to bring them bound back to Jerusalem. He going to bound them up. He going to hurt them. He going to bring them back to Jerusalem. He want to crush. See, the confusion thing here about Paul is that he thought he was serving God. Watch people that think they're serving God, but they don't know God. They're dangerous folk. Every now and then you run up against them in the church. They think they are Christians, but they ain't nothing Christ-like about them. When we studied about them in Bible study, God said, I never knew you. Hallelujah. But we see now Paul is hunting them down. He's on his way to Damascus. He has a letter from the high priest. He's going to stop the people of the way. He wants to hurt them. And as he journeyed, he became near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. Hallelujah. Now he got near to Damascus. See, he got close to it, and I could see him, and they say how he was breathing this hatred and all of this stuff. He got near. I can imagine he could taste it. He could see himself beating them folks. He could see himself knocking them down. He could see himself, and he got close. But see, close only counts in horseshoes. But as he got near Damascus, there shone round about him a light from heaven. Yes. Josephus said, the great historian said that this happened about noon. Those of you that know anything about being raised in the country, see, we didn't have to have watches, Brother Jones, when we were in the country. We know when the sun was over here in the east, it was 9 o'clock straight up. When the sun was straight up, it was 12 o'clock. When the sun was over here in the west, it was 3 o'clock. When it was 6 o'clock, we could go. All we had to do was look at the sun and know what time it is. We even learned how to box by noon, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Y'all don't know nothing about that. So now it was, Josephus said it was 12 o'clock and a light came from heaven. Pay attention. That was brighter than the sun. My Lord. Paul, on his way to Damascus, a light came from heaven that was brighter than the sun. Now you know that's bright lighted. Because at 12 o'clock, you can't get no brighter than that sun shining down. Those of you that picked cotton and stayed and out and down south, you know what I'm talking about. That's when you had that big hat on. And when that light got him, and then in that fourth verse, it says, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute that man? Now, Paul left Jerusalem, and they say he had an army with him, army of men with him. Now, they heard the voice, but they didn't hear what the voice was saying. So now Paul fell to the ground. This light knocked him to the ground, and something happens here when Paul fell to the ground. He heard a voice, and the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thy man?" Paul, why are you fighting against the people that are connected to me? Why are you fighting against my people? See, you have to be careful when you fight against church folk. Hallelujah. I wouldn't even have to tell you about God. I said, don't mess with my anointed. I wouldn't even want to go there. Hallelujah. That's why I fear no man. When you're doing the work of God, God said, why are you fighting against me, Paul? Saul. He said, well, I thought I was chasing down these Christians, the people of the way. And then I didn't know that I was fighting against you. But you see, now I told you he was very well learned. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Now, Paul was just hauling these people out of the house that claimed to be Christians. And he wanted to ban them and bring them back to Jerusalem. He was all confused, thinking he was serving God. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I like this statement. Now he said, who art thou, Lord? Now he heard a voice. He called the voice Lord. But he said, who art thou, Lord? You know, many people have tried to figure this out. He said, who art thou? He knew it was something greater than him was. But he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, Mary's baby. I am Jesus, the one that was born in the manger. I am Jesus, the one that Gabriel came and said that his name shall be Jesus and he shall save the world from their sins. He said, I am Jesus. I will come into the world as Jesus. Then some would know me as Jesus Christ, and then they would be like Christ Jesus. But when I rise and go back to heaven, it would just be Christ. The anointed one. Hallelujah. He said, but I'm Jesus. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted, and it is hard to kick against the prick. Let me just explain something to you about the prick. I know some of you, was born on State Street and you don't know nothing about growing up. But see, I'm a country boy. I didn't grow up in the country, but me and my daddy used to deliver stuff on Tuesday to the country. So we would pull up in our car and deliver stuff. So I know a lot of stuff about country folk. Now he's comparing Paul here to an ox. And the way an ox is a very stubborn animal. And the way you get an ox to move, you take a stick. It's a long stick. It's like it's called a gourd. But it has a pointed edge. And the only way for you to get the ox to move, because the ox is big and he's stubborn, they have to prick it. They have to stick it and prick it. And when they stick that ox and prick it, the ox kick back against it because the ox don't want to move. So the ox kick back against the prick. But you see what happens. Pay attention now. What happens when the ox kicks against the prick? He hurts his leg. He cuts his thigh. But he keeps on kicking against the prick. And then his leg gets bloody because he's kicking against the prick. Are y'all with me? He's kicking against the prick. So he said, you're going to hurt yourself if you kick against the prick. The Bible said, we shall not be unequally yoked. But you, I marry who I want to marry. I'm going to kick. So you in trouble with this bad marriage. But I'm going to kick. The Bible said, flee fornication. Oh, I can handle this. Next thing you at the clinic with a sexual transmitted disease. Kicking. Kicking. Every time you kick against the prick, you're going to hurt yourself. But you are kicking against the prick. The Bible say, husbands, treat your wives like God treats the church. Oh, I'll treat her just like I want to treat her. I don't need no preacher telling me how to treat my wife. I cover the ground I stand on. Well, you cover that ground in divorce court when an unsaved judge is dividing up all your stuff. And they say, wives, submit to your own husband. I was on my way to do a wedding one day, and I had counseled this couple, and she emailed me to take submission out of the vows. Well, I ain't read no emails when I'm on my way to do a wedding. So I went on and say, you know, submit to you. She was so angry, she didn't want, I thought they was gonna have to call the whole wedding off. I asked her, I'm not gonna submit. Submission only means you come under authority. You know, I tried to select some of the furniture in my house, but I didn't get a chance to. But almost. I had some patio furniture and it was shaped like barrels. I had gone to the store and picked it out. I told my wife to come see it. She came out there, took one look at it and said, James, we ain't getting this. We didn't get it either. You have to learn to come under the authority. He said, wives, submit to your husband. Young lady called me when I was at my other church and we was putting together this big activity. And she called me and I hadn't gotten home yet. It was late. And I got home. My wife said, James so-and-so called you. And she wants you to call her back. And she said, she's going to be up late. But here's the number. But don't you call her. It's too late. What y'all think I did? I went to bed. Hey, listen. I was born at night, not last night. Are y'all with me? Now you kicking against the prick that say wine, strong drink. Wine is a mocker. The Bible say don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Oh, they can't. I'm going to go out and get drunk, cirrhosis at the liver and all this kind of kicking. Against the prick. So we see so many people out there that's kicking against the prick like this often. That's what God is saying. Why are you kicking? And let me tell you this. The Bible don't tell you who to marry. But the Bible gives you guidelines. Equally yoked. The Bible tells us things to do that would keep us healthy. That would keep us in line. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit pricks us and keeps us in line and keeps us. See that prick when they prick that ox, he may be about to fall over a cliff, but that prick pricks him and keeps him in line. And it's not to hurt him, but it is to stimulate him. And the word of God will stimulate us. Are you out there? Are you out there? You say, why are you kicking against the, why are you fighting against the prick? Tell so many people. Give God what's due to God. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. Oh, I got to pay my cell phone bill. I got to have this money. You can't make it through life spending God's money. I mean, you know, you don't want to get into that with folk because they, you know. I go to church from Sunday to Sunday, but I don't feel connected. You ain't in nothing. Got talent, sitting on it. We need more folks to sing in the choir. We need more ushers. We need more everything. I ain't got time. I got to watch my soap opera. You keep on doing that. The talents that God has given you, he also would take them away from you. I want you to understand that. So then we go on. After God is speaking to Paul, Saul speaking to these people about fighting against the prick, and then trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou shalt must do. Now this is the thing. We have to submit to God. We have to come under God's will. There's not but two wills. There's man's will and there's God's will. And we have to come under God's will in order for us to make it through this life. God wants to bring you under his will, and God wants to direct your life, and God wants to bless you. But God can't bless you when he looked down there at you. You're still trying to run your life through self-will, and you're running amok, and you keep getting in trouble, and you keep doing this, and you keep running from everything, and you keep trying to run this life yourself. You keep trying to live life on life's terms without God being a part of it. And I just want you to know, God told me to come here this morning so we could pray and help you to take the blinders off. See, once Paul on Damascus Road was knocked down, the blinders came off. And why Paul was knocked down. And if you go on down here, he was knocked down. The Apostle Paul, that was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians, he had to be led in Damascus 3 days without food. Three days, Paul was led into Damascus without sight. And they sent Ananias to pray to him. He went to straight streets so Ananias can lay hands on him and to give him his sight. 3 days without water, without anything. But why those 3 days? If you look into Romans chapter 7, that's when Paul recorded that scripture where it says, the things that I want to do. Hallelujah. See, Paul was blind, but God was still speaking to him. He said, the things that I want to do are not the things that I do. The things that I hate to do are the things that I do. He said, oh, this wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Took the blinds off him. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? I will submit to you. When that light came down, Paul saw God in his glory. And see, once you see God in his glory, he looked up and saw God in his glory. He realized that Jesus was not dead. He realized that Jesus was alive. He realized that Jesus was his Savior. He realized that everything in the Old Testament had been fulfilled in the New Testament. He realized that the Old Testament was concealed and the New Testament had revealed. He realized that Almighty God was alive. And he realized that he was finna serve a true and living Savior. Hallelujah. No man can come to me. Jesus is talking here in John chapter 6, verse 4. He said, no man can come to me except the Father, which God, which is the person who sent me, draws him. Jesus is saying, you cannot come to me unless the Father draws you. And if you go on down in Acts chapter 16 and you look at Lydia, the lady with the purple who did all of that stuff, but they say the Lord had to open her heart so she could receive and attend to the things that Paul was talking to. You can't accept the word of God naturally in your natural state. God has to open your heart. We're going to pray this morning that God will open your heart so you could be the person that God is calling for in these last and terrible days. The world is in the shape that it's in because men are blind to the things of God. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 helps us to understand that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were lost. We were out there in the world doing everything that the devil wanted us to do. We were out there lost. The devil had us doing all kind of stuff. We was dead in trespasses and sin. We were out there with the crowd, whatever the crowd wanted to do. We was part of that mob crowd. We was part of everything that was going on out there. And we thought we were having a good time. We was doing all kind of crazy dances, putting all kind of stuff on Facebook and doing all kind of stuff that we thought was making us hip. But God, hallelujah. In that fourth verse, it says, but God is so rich in mercy. He loved us. And even he loved us so much when we were doomed on our way to hell, he gave us our life back. He gave us our life back by raising Jesus from the dead. Matthew chapter 27, verse 45 helps us to understand when they were carrying Jesus to the cross. At 12 o'clock, when Jesus was out there on that cross, at 12 o'clock, from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, there came a darkness that was out there when Jesus was on that cross. It got so dark that the whole world, I'm not just talking about Glen Ellen dark, I'm talking about the whole world got so dark that you couldn't even see anything. This darkness blinded the whole world. And I just want you to know, it got so dark, this darkness was a miracle. But at 3 o'clock, Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your backs on me? Because I'm bearing all of the sins of the world. I'm bearing every sin that's been ever committed. I want you to know I'm in this darkness so Shannon would never have to go to the kind of darkness that I'm going through, that I'm going to go through this darkness so that Shannon would have light. Because when I come out of this darkness, when I come out of that grave, I'm going to be the light of the world. I'm going to be the light of the world. No man would ever have to go through that kind of darkness again. All you have to do is line up with Jesus. Yes. Those that have his spirit, yes, are known as the sons of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Are you in darkness? God sent his son so that you would have light. Jesus went through darkness so that we would never have to go through that kind of darkness again. If you walking out there, don't know your way, stumbling and going around, looking job after job, woman after woman, man after man, running all of this stuff, God said, I will give you light. But first you got to stop kicking against the prick. Are you out there today?